To fulfill the dream of a lifetime, I had decided to give myself a little holiday on the River Nile. At first, everything was calm and serene, but then I found myself being drawn into a very curious affair, that of the newlywed Lynette and Simon Doyle, and of his former fiancée, Jacqueline de Belfort, who had followed them out to Egypt and deliberately haunted them with her presence.
We present John Moffat as Hercule Poirot and Donald Sinden as Colonel Race in Agatha Christie's Death on the Nile.
I'm glad of one thing, Monsieur Poirot. You've made Lynette realise we're more or less powerless in this matter.
There is clearly no legal redress.
Did you, have you talked to Jackie, to Miss de Belfort?
Yes, I have spoken with her.
Well, did you get her to see any sense?
I'm afraid not.
Well, can't she see what an ass she's making of herself? Hasn't she got any pride or respect?
She has only a sense of injury, shall we say.
I'd understand better if she tried to take a pot shot at me.
You think that might be more like her?
Well, frankly, I do. She's hot-blooded and she's got an ungovernable temper. But this spying on us all the time is playing merry hell with Lynette's nerves.
And yours?
Well, I'd like to wring her neck.
There is nothing of the old feeling left?
Well, it sounds a caddish thing to say, but Jackie was too fond of me. A man doesn't want to feel owned body and soul. It's that damn possessive attitude. This man is mine, he belongs to me, and now that I see what Jackie is really like and the length she is likely to go to, I feel as if I've had rather a lucky escape.
Have you any idea, Monsieur Doyle, what these lengths are?
What exactly do you mean?
You know she carries a pistol about with her.
Oh, I don't think she'll use it now. She might have done so earlier, but I believe it's got past that.
It may be so.
I'll tell you the plan I've made, and you can suggest any improvements on it. I've announced fairly openly that we're going to stay here for 10 days. But tomorrow, the steamer Karnak starts from Shilal to Wadi Haifa. I propose to book passages on it under an assumed name. Tomorrow, we'll let it be known we're going on an excursion to Philae. Lynette's maid can take our luggage onto the Karnak, and Lynette and I will join the boat at Shilal. When Jackie finds out we haven't come back, it'll be too late. We shall be well on our way.
And suppose she waits here till you return?
We may not return. We may go on to Khartoum and then perhaps by air to Kenya. Well, she can't follow us all over the globe. Well, what do you think of my plan?
It may work. I too shall be on the Karnak. It is part of my itinerary.
Oh, that's not on our account, is it? Oh, I'd hate to
think
that...
No, not at all. It was all arranged before I left London. I always make my plans well in advance.
That's how the more skillful murderer behaves, I believe. You must tell us something about your more interesting cases on board the Karnak.
No. That would be to talk, the shop.
Yes, but your kind of shop is rather interesting. Mrs. Allerton thinks so. She's longing to get a chance to talk to you.
That is the charming lady with the very devoted son.
Yes, she'll be on the Karnak too.
Tell me, who is the third member of your party, the tall, grey-haired gentleman?
Pennington. He's Lynette's American trustee. We ran across him by chance in Cairo.
Ah, vraiment. You permit a question?
Mm-hmm.
She is of age, madame, your wife?
Well, she isn't actually 21 yet, but she didn't have to ask anyone's permission to marry me. It came as a complete surprise to Pennington. He left America on the Carmelik 2 days before Lynette's letter reached New York, so he knew nothing about it.
The Carmelik?
We ran into him in Shepherd's in Cairo. And when we heard that he was coming up the Nile too, well... It was quite a relief, in a way, being forced to talk about things other than Jackie.
Tell me, was it your idea to come to Egypt for your honeymoon?
No, of course not. As a matter of fact, I'd rather have gone almost anywhere else, but Lynette was absolutely set on it, and so...
Naturally.
But I'd better be getting on. There's a lot to organise before we set off to Philae tomorrow.
Good morning, Monsieur Poirot.
Good morning, Mademoiselle de Belfort. You are dressed for riding. A little excursion into the desert?
Nothing so romantic. I'm hiring a donkey and going off to explore the native villages. Are they of interest?
Oh, they are picturesque, I believe. But do not spend large sums on native curios.
Which are shipped here from Europe. Mm-hmm. I'm not so easy to deceive as that. Au revoir, Monsieur Poirot.
Au revoir, mademoiselle.
Isn't that the girl who used to be engaged to Simon Doyle?
Yes, that is so.
Oh, do excuse me. It's quite unforgivable of me to intrude on you like this. It's just idle curiosity, I'm afraid.
Curiosity is never a vice as far as I am concerned. Rather the reverse. Mrs. Allison, is it not?
That's right. And you are Hercule Poirot.
Uh-huh.
It really is quite thrilling to meet you. When my son and I were in Mallorca, there was a Mrs. Leach who was telling the most wonderful stories about you. Oh. She'd lost her ruby ring bathing and was lamenting the fact that you weren't there to find it for her.
Ah, parbleu, but I am not the performing seal.
Now, this girl you were talking to, the one who used to be engaged to Simon Doyle, it may sound foolish, but she almost frightened me. She looked so intense.
You are not far wrong, madame. A great force of emotion is always frightening.
Mm. Do people interest you too, Monsieur Poirot? Or do you just reserve your interest for potential criminals?
Oh, madame, that category would not leave many people outside it.
Do you really believe that?
Mm, given the particular incentive...
Even I, perhaps?
Mothers, madame, are singularly ruthless when their children are in danger.
I think that's probably quite true.
Your son is not with you this morning?
No. Tim had some letters to get off before we leave. We're doing the trip to the Second Cataract.
I too, madame.
Oh, it all sounds terribly complicated. A bus from here to the railway station, then a train to Chalar.
Oh, it is only a short journey, I believe. But the steamer is much smaller than the boats on the Lower Nile.
Ah.
I hope that it will not be too crowded.
Your cabin is on the promenade deck, Monsieur Poirot, close to the observation saloon. Let me take your luggage.
See. So, our little journey into Nubia begins, Mademoiselle Rosalie. You are pleased that we are leaving?
Yes. I feel that I'm really getting away from things at last. Away from people.
Not altogether. There are still our fellow passengers. That lady coming aboard now, for instance.
She looks like a very old iguana.
You haven't forgotten my dressing case, Cornelia.
No, Cousin Marie.
You mustn't let any of the porters touch it. Understand?
Yes, Cousin Marie.
My God, are those real diamonds? What a frightful old witch.
But you got my paper cutter, haven't you?
But look, there's Mrs. Doyle and her husband. I thought they said they were staying on at Aswan.
We've done it, Lynette. I really think we've thrown her off.
Now we're going into the heart of Egypt, miles away from anywhere, into a fairy tale kingdom.
Looks like we're off.
Why, Lynette! I didn't expect to see you on the boat. Didn't you say you were staying on at Aswan for another 10 days? This is a surprise.
I'm afraid, Monsieur Poirot. Afraid of everything. All these rocks and the gorge on either side of us. It's all so fierce and so grim. What am I going to do? I've never felt like this before. I've always been nice to people, and now I feel surrounded by enemies. It's terrible to feel that there are people who hate you.
No. You must calm yourself now.
How did Jackie know we were coming on this boat? How could she have known?
She has brains, you know.
I feel as though I shall never escape from her. Never, as long as I live.
Darling, I do hope you don't mind. I've asked Monsieur Poirot to sit at our table.
Mind? Of course I mind.
Why? What's wrong?
We don't want to be cooped up with an outsider, Mother, particularly on a small boat like this. We'll never get away from the wretched little man.
I'm sorry, Tim. I really thought he would amuse you. After all, he must have some wonderful tales to tell.
I wish you wouldn't have these bright ideas, Mother. We can't get out of it now, I suppose.
You really permit, madame, that I shall avail myself of your kind suggestion?
Of course. Do sit down, Monsieur Poirot.
Thank you. Good evening, Monsieur Allert.
Good evening.
Ah, here's the passenger list. Now, let's try to identify everybody. I always think that's rather fun.
Soup, madame.
Thank you so much. Oh, they put Mademoiselle de Belfort at the same table as the Otterburns. I wonder what they'll make of each other. Now then,
Monsieur...
Dr. Bessner. Can we identify Dr. Bessner?
No idea. Could be anybody.
The fat man with the shaven head, perhaps.
Oh, he doesn't seem to be enjoying his soup very much. Then, there are the Doyles. Yeah,
with Mr. Pennington, as usual.
Yes, now, who's Mr. Fanthorpe? At that table there, perhaps?
The quiet young man who never speaks.
Rather nice face.
And intelligent, too.
Mm.
He does not talk, but he listens very attentively, and he watches. I wonder what he's doing here.
Mm. Now then, Mr. Ferguson.
Ah, now, I can tell you all about him. He's at that table over there.
As far as I'm concerned, the pyramids are great blocks of useless masonry stuck there to flatter the ego of some bloated pharaoh.
And he's forever going on about the evils of capitalism and the dignity of labour.
He doesn't look as if he's ever done a day's work in his life.
Mm.
Then there's Mr. Ricchetti.
Ah, the Italian archaeologist.
Ah, and then there's Miss Van Schuller. Now, that must be the American lady who obviously thinks she's the queen of the boat and who's going to be very, very exclusive.
And the two rather sad-looking women with her must be Miss Bowers and Miss Robson.
Mm.
Miss Bowers is her nurse and Miss Robson's some sort of poor relation. She trots after Miss Van Schuller like an obedient dog.
I shall have to talk to Miss Van Schuller.
She'll give you an old American snub, Mother.
Oh, no, she won't. I shall just happen to sit down quite near her and talk, in the most casual manner, of course, about any titled friends and relatives I can remember. I think a casual mention of our second cousin once removed, the Duke of Glasgow, might do the trick.
A beautiful night, Mademoiselle de Belfort.
Beautiful, yes. And wonderfully peaceful.
Mm-hmm. For those who are at peace.
Were you surprised to find me on the boat?
Not so much surprised as sorry. Very sorry.
Sorry for me?
That is what I meant. You have embarked on a dangerous journey, on a swift-flowing river, heading for who knows what currents of disaster.
Why do you say that?
Because it is true. You have cut the lines which moored you to safety. I doubt now if you could turn back, even if you wanted to.
Yes. That is true. One must follow one's star wherever it leads.
Be well, mademoiselle, that it is not a false star.
Even if it is, Monsieur Poirot, I cannot help but follow it.
Mademoiselle Robson, is it not?
That's right. And you are the famous Monsieur
Poirot, mademoiselle. Hercule Poirot. And did you enjoy your excursion to the Temple of Estampouard this morning?
Oh, yes, it was marvelous.
But your companion did not accompany you.
No.
No.
Cousin Mabel, that's Miss Van Schuller, never gets up very early. She has to be very careful of her health.
Oh.
That's why her nurse, Miss Bowers, is traveling with us.
I see.
That's Mrs. Doyle over there in the corner, isn't it?
Yes, that is correct.
Oh, I think she's the most elegant woman I've ever seen, and so wealthy, of course.
Lynette, I know it's rather tactless to talk business to a bride on her honeymoon, but there are just one or two things...
Why, of course, Uncle Andrew.
There are a few documents in which I need your signature.
Of course.
No time like the present?
Oh, they're just here.
Her husband just worships the ground she walks on, doesn't he? And he's so English. And I think that grey-haired lady you're with is so distinguished, too.
Mrs. Allerton?
Oh, she's a cousin to a duke, I believe. She was talking about him right near us last night. Is she actually titled herself?
Excuse me, but can you possibly tell me when we arrive at Abu Simbel?
Sometime tomorrow morning, I believe. But all the details are pinned up on the bulletin board.
Thank you. So sorry to have disturbed you.
What a very odd young man. Who is he?
I think his name is Fanthorpe.
Perhaps it's just because he's English.
Ah.
Now he's gone to hang round Mrs. Doyle's table.
Mercy, have I got to sign all these?
Oh, it's tough on you, Lynette. I know, but I need to get your affairs into proper shape. Now, this is the lease on the Fifth Avenue property and the Western Land Concession. You just signed there and there.
Just a second.
Oh, it's only the transfer. You needn't read it.
I'll just look it through.
Well, you're not going to read the whole lot, are you, darling? We'll be here all day.
My father always taught me to read everything through. He said there might be some clerical error.
You're a good woman of business, Lynette.
Oh, she's much more conscientious than I'd be. I sign where they tell me, on the dotted line, and that's that.
Well, that's frightfully slipshod.
I hope I'm not butting in, but you must let me say how much I admire your capacity for business, Mrs. Doyle. I'm a lawyer, and I find ladies sadly unbusinesslike. Never to sign a document unless you've read it through is admirable. Altogether admirable.
Well, thank you, Mr... Next, please, Uncle Andrew.
I think perhaps at some other time might be better, as your husband says. If you have to read through all these, we'll be here all day. We should be enjoying the scenery. We can attend to your business affairs later.
Makes you want to puke, doesn't it?
Huh? What is it that makes you want to puke, Monsieur Ferguson?
That girl in there, signing share transfers and throwing her weight about. Hundreds and thousands of wretched workers slaving for a mere pittance to keep her in silk stockings. Never done a hand's turn in her life. Nor have you, by the look of you.
I work with my brain. The little grey cells. And I am not ashamed of it.
So what do you do, then?
I am a detective.
Good God. Do you mean you're one of that woman's lackeys?
No, I have no connection whatever with Madame Doyle. I am en vacances.
Enjoying a little vacation.
And you? You are not on holiday also?
Holiday? No, I'm here to study social conditions.
Indeed. In that case, I will leave you to your studies, monsieur.
Sorry, I didn't mean to...
No. Do not derange yourself, Madame Otterbourne. Hold on to me. It is quite all right.
Oh, it's the motion of the boat, you know. Mm-hmm. I never did have any sea legs. I was just going to... Oh, if only the boat would keep still. To be left alone, hour after hour.
No. I will send your daughter to you, Madame. Go back into your cabin. It will be safer so. You might be swept overboard.
But that's ridiculous, Mr. Allerton. I can't believe that.
It's true, I tell you.
Excuse me, Mademoiselle Rosalie, but your mother is asking for you.
Is she? Oh, my God, what a bore.
I really can't make that child out. One minute she's as happy as anything, the next she's downright rude.
Spoilt and bad-tempered, if you ask me.
No, I don't think it's that. I think she's unhappy.
Oh, well, I suppose we all have our private troubles.
You know, Monsieur Perrault, I don't think I've ever seen anything quite so wonderful in all my life.
Ma chère Mademoiselle Robson, Abu Simbel has been called the eighth wonder of the ancient world.
It's the way those statues are hewn out of the cliff, almost as if they'd grown out of it. And they're so big and so peaceful.
Who are they supposed to be?
They're figures of Rameses II.
You know, Monsieur Poirot, I'm truly glad now that we came on this trip. And Lynette seems to have got her nerve back at last. She's actually facing up to this business.
I think that is very probable.
We're both agreed we're not going to hide from Jackie anymore. We'll just meet her on her own ground and show her that this ridiculous stunt of hers doesn't worry us a bit. Well, that ought to show her.
Yes, it should show her.
Come on, darling. The tour for Abu Simbel's just setting off. I don't want to miss it.
Above the doorway between the statues, you will see a figure of Ra, the god of the sun. On either side appear the god Mart and the god User. That is the one with the head of the jackal. Above those, high up on the cliff, you can make out a frieze of 22 baboons. The great temple of Rameses II is aligned west to east so that the sun can penetrate its interior. This happens only twice a year, on the 21st of February and the 21st of October.
This is your first visit to Egypt, Mr. Pennington?
No, as a matter of fact, I came out here in 1923. But this is my first trip up the Nile.
Madame Doyle was telling me that you came over from America on the Carmenic.
Yeah, that is so.
I was wondering if you happened to encounter some friends of mine who were aboard the Rushington Smiths.
Well, I can't recall anyone of that name, but the boat was full and we had bad weather. Some passengers never appeared at all.
Ah. You have known Madame Doyle for many years, I understand.
Well, Lynette, I've known her since she was so high. Her father and I were lifelong friends. Now I'm her financial advisor.
And she's come into a very considerable fortune.
Yeah, Lynette is a very wealthy woman.
I suppose that the recent slump is bound to affect any stocks, however sound they may be.
Yeah, that's true to a certain extent. The position is very complicated, but you must excuse me, Mr. Poirot. I want to get a really good look at those statues.
Yes, of course, of course.
It says here that the name of one of these gods or goddesses was Mutt. Can you believe it?
Cornelia, have you got my shawl? Give it to me.
Yes, Cousin Marie.
From 1292 to 1225 BC. He defeated the Hittites at Kadesh and married a Hittite princess. The great temple was the center of the monument. It was lavishly decorated with mural paintings and statues of the pharaoh and with his gods.
This place gives me the creeps. Well, who are these people supposed to be anyway?
That one's Amun, I think. Mm. And this, I imagine, is Osiris. And the one over there is Ramses again. Don't you think they're impressive?
Well, they're far too impressive for me. I don't care for them. I want to go back into the sunlight.
How lovely it is here. I feel warm and safe and happy. For the first time, I feel really happy.
And that's the way it's going to be from now on.
Look out! Get away!
Quickly! Lynette!
Oh, another 2 feet to your right and you would have been crushed to atoms.
Gone! Damn!
How did it happen? Did some fool shove that boulder over the cliff, or did it get detached on its own?
I think someone did it deliberately. Oh,
let us go back to the boat, madame. You must have a restorative.
Thank you, Monsieur Poirot. I feel better now that we're away from those threatening cliffs.
Madame.
Well, I must admit, when I saw that thing hurtling down towards you, Lynette, I thought you were a goner.
It all happened so quickly. I didn't really see what it was.
I'm afraid I'm a little on the late side. Is the guide still there?
Yes, he's over at the temple.
I wouldn't want to miss it for the world.
So she was on the boat all the time?
Yes. It's quite a relief in a way. For a moment, I thought...
Yes, I know what you thought. But if it wasn't Jackie, that means there's someone else who wants to kill me. There's a telegram on the notice board for me. I wonder what it can be. What on earth?
What's the matter?
I don't understand. Potatoes, artichokes, beetroots. What does it mean, Simon?
What do you think you are doing? Give that to me. Did no one teach you to read? Is your name Riquetti?
Who on earth was that?
Riquetti. He's an archaeologist, I think.
Riquetti? I thought it said Ridgway.
But you're not Ridgway anymore.
Stupid. Do you think I ought to apologise?
No, I don't. He was bloody rude.
They just don't care, Monsieur Poirot. They don't mind if I'm here or not. I can't hurt them anymore.
And now we are at our furthest point up the Nile. Tomorrow we shall begin our journey back to Shalal.
You were right. I should never have come on this journey in the first place. Well, what did you call it? A journey of the soul? But I can't turn back now. I've got to go on. And I shall go on. They shan't be happy together. They shan't. I'd rather kill them.
Oh. Your girlfriend seems a trifle upset, Poirot.
What? Ah, Colonel Race.
Bit of a surprise, eh?
A very different setting from our last meeting.
Mr. Shaitana's little bridge party. Oh. I was always sorry I wasn't able to see that one through to the end.
And now you are here at Wadi Haifa.
Yes. And I shall be your fellow passenger on the trip back to Shalal.
Well, that is very interesting, Colonel. Shall we perhaps go down to the saloon and have a little drink together?
Yes, right on.
One whiskey and one double orangeade and sugar.
Excellent, thank you.
Thank you, monsieur.
So, you are making your return journey with us, Colonel. You would go faster, would you not, on the government steamer, which travels by night as well as by day?
You've hit the nail on the head, as usual, Poirot.
So, it is the passengers which interest you.
One of them.
Now, yes. Which one, I wonder?
Unfortunately, I don't know myself. There's no need to conceal anything from you. We've had a good deal of trouble out here, one way or another, over the past months. It isn't the people who are ostensibly leading the rioters that we're after. No, we know all about them. It's the men who are putting the match to the gunpowder keg. There were three of them. One's dead, one's in prison. I want the third man. A man with five or six cold-blooded murders to his credit.
And he is on the boat?
Yes.
Do you have a description of him?
No. He's supposed to be of American, Irish, and French descent. That doesn't help much, does it? Got any ideas?
An idea, which is all very well, but there is something happening on this boat, Colonel, which causes me disquietude.
Tell me.
Figure it to yourself. A person A who has grievously wronged a person B. The person B desires revenge and is making threats.
And A and B both being on board this boat?
Precisely.
And B, I gather, being a woman?
Exactly.
Who is A, by the way? A particularly disagreeable person?
Au contraire, a charming and beautiful young lady. I'm not happy, my friend. If I'm right, and after all, I am constantly in the habit of being right, then there is a matter for grave inquietude. And now you add yet another complication. You tell me that there is a man on the Karnak who is a ruthless killer.
Yeah, but he doesn't usually go around killing charming young ladies.
Today I advised the lady, Madame Doyle...
Mrs. Doyle is A.
Yes. Earlier today I advised her to go with her husband to Khartoum, not to return on this boat. But they would not listen to me. Oh, I pray to heaven that we arrive at Shalal without catastrophe.
Aren't you taking rather a gloomy view?
I am afraid, Colonel. Yes. I, Hercule Poirot, am afraid.
In part two of Agatha Christie's Death on the Nile, Hercule Poirot was played by John Moffat and Colonel Race by Donald Sinden. Jacqueline de Belfort, Amanda Barton Chapel, Lynette Ridgway, Elaine Pike, Simon Doyle, Robert Dawes. Mrs. Allerton, Rosemary Leach, Tim Allerton, Nicholas Bolton, Mrs. Otterbourne, Shirley Dixon, Rosalie Otterbourne, Emma Woodvine. Miss Van Schuler, Irene Sutcliffe, Cornelia, Teresa Gallagher, Pennington, Stratford Johns, Ferguson, Robert Portal, Fanthorpe, Roger May, Ricchetti, Johan Meredith, the steward, Christopher Scott, the tour guide, Ben Thomas. Other parts were played by members of the cast. Death on the Nile is dramatized for radio by Michael Bakewell and directed by Enid Williams.
Are Poirot's fears justified? We'll find out when Death on the Nile continues tomorrow.